Amen. Good morning, church. God's given us a beautiful day, and it's wonderful to be with God's people, to praise Him. I've enjoyed so much. My heart is full of joy and gratitude today that we could sing these songs and to have brothers and sisters in Christ. And I'm especially blessed today. So much of my family is coming to town to celebrate with me my daughter Erin's graduation tomorrow. It's good times and so much to be thankful for. I hope that you have your Bible open to the book of Joshua in the 15th chapter. As we get into our study this morning, I want to delve. We're going to get into the intriguing account of Aksa, found in Joshua 15 and verses 16 through 19. Someone asked me earlier this week, Andrew, what are you going to be preaching on? And I said, Aksa. And they said, what's that? Exactly. I mean, how often do we hear the word Aksa or use the word Aksa? But of course, as our brother just read to us so well, Aksa is a who, not a what. Aksa is Caleb's daughter. But I will be completely transparent with you and confess, though I have taught the book of Joshua, and though I have taught the book of Judges, if I had never known anything about Aksa, I had forgotten it. And I hope you don't think less of me for that, but it's so. And I felt bad because her account is in the Bible twice. Exactly the same. Twice. In Joshua 15 and again in Judges chapter 1. Which tells me that the Holy Spirit has something for us in this account of Aksa. There is something here. He doesn't want us to miss out on this episode of her life. And truth be told, I was introduced or reintroduced to Aksa a couple of months ago in connection with a class I was taking on interpretation of the Old Testament. And these scholars in the readings, they kept coming back to Aksa and saying something a little bit more about Aksa. And I am persuaded that though her story may not be as well known as plenty of others in the Bible, it carries valuable lessons for us as believers today. Many who read the book of Numbers and read the book of Joshua remember Caleb, all right, as Andrew was just kind of bringing us up to speed in this reading. One of two faithful Israelite spies. Caleb is a great faith leader. He's a giant slayer. He's a conqueror of cities. Caleb has three sons and a daughter, Aksa. What is Aksa? It's a word that means anklet, like both men and women of the ancient Near East in that time would wear. A little bit of jewelry around their ankles to adorn themselves. And so the name came to mean adornment. She is adorned. Aksa is a jewel. And as we read, we find Aksa has her own plan, doesn't she? And motivation. She wants to cultivate something very big for her family, but she required provision. She required blessing from her father. And through her account, Christians learned that in order to claim God's blessings, gain God's blessing, we must boldly, persistently, yet humbly ask our Father. So I want to learn from Aksa a lesson in claiming God's blessings. In our reading this morning, two major themes begin to emerge: blessing and inheritance. There's a blessing, God's blessing, all over this account. I want to focus on three of them with you this morning. I hope that you got one of the programs on the way in. There's an interactive outline there on page 3 as we study the scriptures together. As we go to Joshua 15 in verses 15 through 17, I want us to appreciate the blessing of marriage. In Joshua chapter 15 and again verse 15, and I tipped my hat to Andrew. I told him, I said, you've got the scripture reading today, brother, and there are some fun words to say. Fun words to say. He said, how do I say them? I said, well, I'm going to say them like a Hoosier. Verse 15. Then he went up from there, this would be Caleb, to the inhabitants of Debir. Formerly the name of Debir was Kiriath Sefer. And Caleb said, he who attacks Kiriath Sefer and takes it, to him I will give Aksa, my daughter, as wife. So Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it. And he gave him Aksa, his daughter, as his wife. This short little reading is mostly about her marriage. But of course, it's easy to miss that when we're reading about this siege of a city and a battle and overtaking a Canaanite city. as Othniel rises to prominence as a leader. But why does Othniel have this opportunity? Because there's a great man of faith named Caleb who's looking for a husband for his daughter Achsa. A husband for his daughter Achsa. How will Caleb identify a good match for his daughter? How does any father identify a good match for his daughter? Who is good enough to marry your daughter? You know the answer. No one. My father-in-law's in the room, so a lot of transparency here, okay? No one. And now I'm a father with beautiful girls. No one. No one is good enough to marry my daughter. But now, who will be graced and blessed by marrying your daughter? That's a little different question. Of course, Caleb is looking for a man who is strong and courageous. And he's looking for a man who will provide for his daughter and protect his daughter. He's looking for a man who will use his strength in the way of the Lord's commandments. And above all, he's looking for a man of great faith. Ah, faith was so important to Caleb. Caleb had spent 40 years of his life in a wilderness when he could have been living in the promised land and enjoying his inheritance, because he was one of two faithful spies who brought back a report to Moses and the people saying, this land of Canaan is a land flowing of milk and honey, and yeah, the people are tall, and yeah, the cities are fortified, but our God will give it to us. Let's go up and take it. That was his message. But the other 10 spies, but the hearts of the Israelites lacked what? Lacked faith. For every day that those spies were in the land of Canaan meant another year that the children of Israel must wander in the wilderness until that faithless generation had perished, all except for two, Joshua and Caleb, and they enter into the promised land. I say all that to say Caleb can appreciate the difference between a faithful husband and a faithless husband, and he wants a man of great faith for his daughter. So he comes up with a plan. The plan is, take the city and win my daughter's hand in marriage. What a plan. I wonder how many of you ladies like the idea of that plan. Dad needs to get something big. And whoever that might be that does that for Dad, I'll marry him. And we think, well, I mean, it's kind of the hero tale, isn't it? I mean, Othniel wins the city, gets the girl, rides off into the sunset. Sounds pretty good. Husband for Achsa. But I think there is something more going on here. I really do. I mean, if it could just be anyone going to take a city, I mean, he might be marrying his daughter off to some wild marauder kind of a man, a very violent man. Would he risk that? We need to appreciate something else that's going on at this time. We need to appreciate, as we are taught in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verses 17 through 26, that in this period where the Israelites were going into the promised land and taking the promised land, if God was with them, they would take the land. If God was with them, they would win the battle. But if God was not with them, if there was perhaps hidden sin in their life or sin in the camp, God would withdraw from them and they lost the battle. And can I tell you that Caleb had lived long enough to see that play out? Caleb was there at Jericho. Caleb knew that when you could march around a city and God would make the walls fall down when God's with you. And Caleb was there at the Battle of Ai when those Canaanite people killed his brethren and everyone was shocked. And what had happened? Achan in their midst had been faithless and sinful to God, and God was not with them. This is a fascinating test. To see, is this a man of God and is God with him to go and take this city? Because if God is with him, they will take the city. And God was with him. And Othniel took the city. It's not a violent, marauding man, though he is a warrior. This is a man of God, an evidence that God is with him. We're also told that Othniel and Achsa are cousins. We know that the Israelites were very serious about marrying within the tribes. They did that back then. That was important. Abraham was Sarah's half-brother. And so Achsa and Othniel, they've known each other before now. They have met before now. They are not strangers. I guess I just want to bring some of that picture around to see that maybe this idea isn't really as cutthroat as it first appears. Caleb is looking for a man of God to be a blessing to his daughter. And there's victory. And there's a wedding. He gives Aksa to Othniel. So the other part of the blessing of marriage is here's a wife for Othniel. A wife for Othniel. And what is Aksa like? We say, well, she's an adornment. She's a jewel. That's what her name means. Indeed. You learn someone's character when you pay attention to what they say and what they do. That's how you discover someone's character, what they say and what they do. And by taking that lens and looking at Aksa, I think we see some wonderful things about her character. Indeed, I believe we see a wife who is truly a blessing from God. In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 22, the scripture says, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." Not he who finds a girl to go on some dates with and have some laughs. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. A wife. See, Othniel is being blessed by God at this time. He has found a wife. And by her actions and by her speech, we see that she is a virtuous wife. For she parallels in many ways this virtuous woman described at the end of the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 31. If you want to leave your marker there in Joshua 15. But notice a couple of passages in Proverbs 31 with me. Why in Proverbs chapter 31 in verse 16, she considers a field and buys it. From her profits she plants a vineyard. And what we see is that Aksa is very mindful about land, about the land she has and what can be done with that land. In Proverbs 31 and verse 17, she girds herself with strength, strengthens her arms, and Aksa is a strong woman. Strong woman, willing to go beyond perhaps cultural conventions to seek out a blessing and the best use of this land. Proverbs 31 verse 26, wise speech. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. When Othniel, who conquers a city, is hesitant or refuses to go and speak to Caleb, Aksa knows how to do it. She knows how to go and speak to her father and ask for a blessing. Finally, watching over the household in Proverbs 31 and verse 27, she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. And she is very interested in her field, her inheritance, what can be done with this. And what we are taught in Proverbs 31 and verse 10 is that a virtuous wife is worth far more than rubies. Proverbs 31 verse 10, who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. What a blessing! Othniel, a blessing for Aksa. Aksa, a blessing for Othniel. Here is a woman who is loved by her father Caleb, valuable beyond rubies to her husband Othniel. That's her. And she is industrious. She has a bold vision for her life and for her family. Why, in Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 14, wisdom teaches houses and riches are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. A gift from the Lord. A blessing from the Lord. An inheritance from the Lord. Both of these proverbs say from the Lord. And certainly these idea of blessing and inheritance, these are the key concepts coming to us out of Joshua 15 as well as Judges chapter 1 when you read about Aksa. These are our concepts this morning. I want to say a word to parents. Parents, you are raising up Othniels and you are raising up Aksas. And I want you to appreciate that God is using you right now to bless another generation. I want you to understand that that son you are raising is the answer to a young woman's prayers. You may not have met her yet. And that daughter that you are raising is an answer to a young man's prayers. It's an answer to another family's prayers for their child, what they want for them in marriage and the next generation and that inheritance. Absolutely. And it's because you are modeling and you are teaching and you are encouraging boldness, virtue, and above all, faithfulness to God in your home and for your children. These children are blessings to you and to others. In fact, one of the first things that I learned here as I study oxen is that I'm just reminded I need to thank God for my spouse. Thank God for your spouse. God has blessed you. Another family has blessed you. And thank God for your children. They are a blessing to you and to others. Steward the blessings with virtue and faithfulness to God. As we meet Othniel and Oxa, let's appreciate, here's a couple mindful of God, and it's a great blessing that they should be wed. And this blessing of marriage occasions gifts. Now, Oxa has a desire for land, a field for her family. And she persuades Othniel about it. But then, you know, as we go back, look at this again with me in Joshua 15. Joshua 15, verse 18. And now it was so when she came to him that she persuaded, and that's Othniel, she persuaded him to ask her father for a field. But then there's this break. Did he go? Did he ask? Keep reading. So she dismounted from her donkey and Caleb said to her, "What do you wish?" She answered, "Give me a blessing. Since you've given me land in the south, give me also springs of water." Give me also springs of water. Aksa has a desire for a land, the field for the family. I don't know if Othniel asked, but we do see Caleb gave. She said, "You gave me a land. You gave me field." All right? We are told that Caleb had given land, which means that what Aksa and Othniel have now is their own land, the promise, the inheritance of the Israelites. For them, this is very, very good. It leads us to the second blessing considered in our text, and that is the blessing of inheritance. The blessing of inheritance. Again, blessing and inheritance all over these passages. As we go back to Joshua 15 and even the chapter that 14, I appreciate some of the words that both Ryan and Andrew shared to kind of get the sermon set up for us. But in Joshua chapter 14, you have Caleb and he's in the land and 40 years late, but here he is. And he's talking to Joshua, the leader of the people, and he's reminding Joshua that Moses had made a promise to him back when he was faithful 40 years ago. Moses had made a promise to him. Everywhere you walk, your foot passes over the ground, that could be your ground. I want it. I've come for my inheritance. He talks about how, yeah, I'm 85 years old now, but I'm just as strong as I was when I was 40. And then he says, give me this mountain. In chapter 14 and verse 12. Now therefore give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. He was itching to fight those giants and fortified cities 40 years ago and now he's going to go. Give me the mountain. I'm going to go and take it. What I want you to appreciate is he's taking his inheritance. He's asking for it. He's saying, give me this mountain. The 85-year-old giant killer wants the inheritance. The 85-year giant killer wants you to remember, Moses promised. There's a promise from God through Moses. There's a promise. And I want the promise. I want the promise. And I just got to tell you, I read that and it sure reminds me of Oxa. She's a bit of a chip off the old block, isn't she? As we go back to our reading today, Joshua 15, and notice verse 18. Joshua 15 and verse 18. Now it was so when she came to him that she persuaded him to ask her father for a field. So she dismounted from her donkey, and Caleb said to her, "What do you wish?" She answered, "Give me a blessing. Since you have given me land in the south, give me also springs of water." So he gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. I want the blessing. She is mindful of her inheritance, just like Caleb. It's good to have land. It's good to have a field if it's usable, if it's productive. Her plan is to cultivate this inheritance, this true inheritance. She's running into a little bit of a problem, isn't she? Now, Canaan is supposed to be a fruitful, productive land. That's what Caleb knew good and well when he was a spy. It took him and another guy carrying a pole on each shoulder to carry the grapes out of the land to show the Israelites how amazing this land is. A land flowing with milk and honey. So Aksa knew quite well what it could be. Oh, there's potential. This is such a fine gift. This land, we're going to raise crops. We're going to have vineyards. We'll have a family. And in the normal course of events, man and wife, God would bless them with children. We read in genealogies, and in fact he did. They had a couple of boys together. But I want you to appreciate here that it's part of inheritance. It's part of this blessing from God that the union would have children. Psalm 127 verse 3, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, an inheritance from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Children are the heritage, an inheritance in their own right. And we need to appreciate that God gives them to you and he entrusts them to you. So you must steward that inheritance. For Aksa and Othniel, it means my children need to live on this land. They need to live on this field. Of course, the third element of inheritance is probably the one we think of the most. Inheritance is something you pass on. It's not just about for her family today. This is supposed to be passed on. In fact, what was the promise for the Israelites? That when they took the promised land, when they got in there, they would keep that land. They would be God's people. God would be their God. Unless they were faithless, unless they broke covenant, unless they went the ways of all the pagan peoples, then they would lose that land. So you got two people of faith here with Othniel and Aksa. What we need to have a good land because we're going to be here a long time. We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to pass this on to our kids. In Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 22, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. The wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. She wants to have something to be passed on. Her children's children. And Aksa clearly believes that all the way. Why? This is God's promise to the Israelites at that time. She is creating something for now, but it must be good because it must be passed on. So here's the hope for the inheritance and for this land, this field. It should be fruitful. We're going to have our family. We're going to pass this on and all. That's wonderful. But none of it can happen in a dry land. None of it can happen without water. She says to him, you've given me this land in the Negev or in the south. And here's a word with a double meaning. The first meaning is dry and parched. The southern part of the tribe of Judah was deserted land, wilderness land. It was dry and parched. And because it was that southern part of Hebron and that land, it also becomes synonymous with south. It is the south land, but it is the dry land. And she says, I need water. I need springs to feed the land. Give me a blessing. Give me water. And so she is like her dad, Caleb. She's not timid to ask for what she needs, what she wants. Somehow she got the land, a field, but it is in this desert part of Hebron that had been promised to Caleb. It's parched. She's got to have water. Or what good is the inheritance of this land? She's in this place of, I'm grateful. I'm grateful I've received a blessing, the field, but it's not complete. It's not all that it could be. It's not what it ought to be. Because it's dry. Because there's no water. Give me water. Blessing from God. And yet it's still not all it could be. Because it's dry. It means water. Can I ask you for a moment to consider, how is your field? How is your field? Is it a dry field? Are you in a dry land? For instance, the blessing of your marriage. You've received this blessing, but is it dry right now? Is it rocky and is it rough today between you and between your spouse? Does it need to be cultivated? Does it need water? How's the field of your family? We talk about the blessing of children and the heritage of the Lord, but how's it going raising your kids? Is this a dry time right now? There's a lot of hostility, rebellion, rocky times. It needs water. I get what it could be, but it's dry right now. How's the field of your faith? Oh, we could be in wonderful, rich communion with the Lord, but our faith is weak and our faith is wavering. How's the field of your life? What a blessing that God gives us each breath, the moment of a day. But what do we do with that? How's the field of your soul? Is it dry? Is it parched with sin, with guilt, with shame? We can't deny that God's given us some wonderful things down to the air we breathe. But at the same time, we find moments and even seasons where, let's be honest, it's dry. And what do we do? Where do we turn? Learn from Aksa. We need water. We need springs. We need the springs of Christ. In John, the fourth chapter, as Jesus met a Samaritan woman outside the well of Sychar, and she was kind to draw water for him to drink. But he taught her, and it is recorded in John 4 and verse 13, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." We need Christ. We need to go to the Father again. We need to confess about the dryness. I recognize the gifts you've given me, but I need water. I need living water, that this can be all that you intend. God Almighty, we need Christ. We need salvation for our souls. We need His leadership, His authority, His word applied in our lives, that balm to salve our souls. We need water. We get dry. And Aksa reminds us how Christians, we have an inheritance from the Lord. It is the Christian's inheritance. We are heirs of God's glorious promises. Blessings made by the Holy Spirit to us found in the Scripture. Just as sure as what Moses said to Caleb, "This will be your land." Trust the promises of the Holy Spirit, what God has in store for you, Christian. In the book of Romans in the 8th chapter, "And children, we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together with Christ." I want us to appreciate that in this life, God gives us good things. We get blessings and we get inheritance. But these never satisfy us here. Because these never replace God. And they never replace the need for God, His provision in our lives. These never replace God and our dependence upon Him. We learn to ask our Father for what we need. Even if we understand we have already received great things from Him, we need more. We need the water. And that brings us to the third blessing I want to bring to your attention this morning. Number three, it is the blessing of the Father. The blessing of the Father. In Joshua 15 and verse 19, Joshua 15 and verse 19, she answered, "Give me a blessing. Since you've given me land in the south, give me also springs of water." So he gave her the upper springs and he gave her the lower springs. The blessing of the Father. I tell you, I see something here as Caleb grants her the springs about how the Father loves his children. It's interesting to me. It says that she's persuading Othniel, "Go talk to my father." But then she's the one that comes and gets off her donkey to talk to him. And Caleb says, what do you want? So for whatever reason, Othniel didn't go make a request. But Aksa went and made a request. I find that curious. I wonder why it would be that Othniel would not ask. Speculative, I'm sure. But why wouldn't he want to go talk to Caleb about water? Maybe it was because the last time I got something from this guy, I had to go conquer a city. Maybe it's the idea of, you want to talk about some intimidating father-in-laws. Well, let's talk about 85-year-old Caleb, strong as he was when he was 40, killing giants, taking fortified cities, and go give me a mountain. That guy casts a long shadow. Maybe Othniel felt like, we've gotten enough. We've got land. We'll make it work. I'll make it work. Maybe there's a little pride in him there too. Not going to go and talk to his father-in-law about this. Maybe. But what we see is Aksa coming and getting off her donkey. That was a sign of humility and respect to her father to come down and to speak to him. Why would she ask? Because Caleb is her father. Isn't that beautiful? Because he is her father. And Othniel was needing to learn something. Othniel was needing to learn, now you are a son. You'd been a nephew, and you were kin, but now you've married Othniel, and now you're a son. And you're in the family. And I'll tell you something about a son and about a daughter. They can always go to their father. They can always ask their father. What a beautiful example to us. Aksa is the example to follow here. Not Othniel, Aksa. And because of a godly father, like our heavenly father, loves his sons and loves his daughters. Oh, he was generous to respond. Caleb gave a double blessing. You see what she asked for? A spring. Could I have water? And he gives her double springs. The upper spring and the lower spring. My understanding of that with the geography is it meant that there would be water year-round feeding her land. And whether that meant expanding the border of her land to get the waters a little bit or to add another parcel, I'm not 100% sure. But now she's going to have all the water she needs year-round, so much more than she ever asked. And all the concerns about a dry, parched land, these are answered in this blessing because she was willing to go to her father and ask. And there's some great things to catch here about going and asking the Father. I want to share them with you, and then the lesson is going to be yours this morning. When we think about approaching the Father, what would you ask of your Heavenly Father? Do you understand, Christian, that you are a son to the Father? That Jesus taught us to pray, our Father. How amazing that is. Do you understand, sister, that you're a daughter of Christ, a daughter of God? You can ask that we ought not be proud or we ought not be shy or we not feel we're so independent. We would not ask God for anything else. We must ask him for what we need. There's nowhere else to go. We must ask. How do we approach the Father? In Matthew chapter 7 verse 11, we are encouraged. If you then being evil, talking to people, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Aksa comes and talks to her dad. I need something. And there's probably some daughters that know there's a way that you talk to daddy when you want something, when you need something. And then you can get it, right? But I don't think too many little girls are shaking their heads in here. I don't understand. Pretty stern fathers, I don't know. What's Jesus' point? You parents want nothing but the best for your children, and you'll do that. And how much more for your Father if you will ask? In James 1 and verse 17, we have to understand every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, comes from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow or turning. He's the one who gives us every good thing. And what good thing is it that he would withhold from his children? He's given us Christ. In Romans 8 and verse 31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He won't withhold anything good from us. And so we're encouraged to ask. Ask like Aksa. Come boldly and yet humble. I say boldly because it is a little beyond the culture that she should go and talk to her father, circumvent her husband to go talk to her father about this issue. And yet for the blessing, she will be bold. And yet she is humble. She dismounts this donkey. This is humility. She was direct. There's a wonderful, wonderful example here about a willingness to stand out for faith in God, to trust God without any reservation. Go ahead and ask. Humbly ask. In Hebrews 4, verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We are taught to pray boldly. Second, from Oxa, to know what you want and know what you need. Know what you want and know what you need. Well, she knew what she wanted. She had plans, very good plans, for a family and for an inheritance. That's all wrapped up in that land. And that was what God was teaching the Israelites to do with the land, by the way. They were supposed to live in it and to enjoy its bounty and to serve Him and to raise up and pass it along to generations. That's what she wanted. She wanted what God wanted for her. What did she need? She needed water. She needed water. And so she asks. And we are encouraged to go and speak to our Father about anything that we want or what we need, even with the assurance that He does know our needs. But we still are to go and ask. Matthew 6, verse 31, we are encouraged not to worry asking about what we'll eat or what we'll drink. Verse 32, for after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. We are not discouraged from coming and asking the Lord. We are encouraged about a priority that God, His things, and His will is always first. And I see a lot of that in Othniel and Oxa. This is a good example to follow. Three, acknowledge what you have received and be thankful. Acknowledge what you have received. She goes, since you've given the land of the south. And I want you to appreciate. She doesn't say, and it's bad. Since you've given the gift of the land of the south, and I need to re-gift. When you get four fondue presents, right? Four fondue sets as wedding presents. Got to re-gift some of those, right? She's not asking to re-gift. You've given me this. This is ours. Thank you. This is mine. Thank you. Thank you. But what do we need? We need water. She truly is thankful. She just wants it to be all that her Father intended, all that God intended. In Philippians 4 and verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. What supplication? When we make our requests. Thanksgiving? When we recognize what we have. What supplication? Asking or claiming blessings. What's thanksgiving? Counting our blessings. Recognizing what we have. Let your requests be made known to God. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It's so beautiful to be able to talk to our Father. And he knows, she sees, she needs the water too. Finally, ask. Trust the Father for what you receive. In our text, she says, give me a blessing. Since you've given me land in the south, land in the dry, the parched. Give me also springs of water. And what's beautiful about that, when she asks for springs, is how He gives her more than she asked. How He gives her more than she was imagining. Two, the upper and the lower. And that's the way our Father in heaven gives. That's how He can do. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, notice in Paul's prayer how we are encouraged to pray and to ask. It says, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. And that's what she does. She asks and then she trusted Caleb would do what was best. She received more than she even asked. That's how God is. We ask and we trust He will always do what's best. He will always do what's right. And we receive what He does. And there's a wonderful confidence in a Christian being able to speak to your Father this way. Be open in praying about this. Because we know that He blesses us with every good gift and every spiritual gift in Christ and in the heavenly places. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Our God gives us every good thing, and we are lacking nothing. But we need to persistently, boldly, and humbly ask. And I'm encouraged by Axa in my prayer life this week about asking. And I hope it's a great encouragement to you as well. If you want to put your Bibles away and put your notes away, I appreciate so much your good attention as we've looked at this passage together. Well, she's quickly become one of my favorites. And where we started, a lot of us maybe didn't know that name. And I hope she'd become one of your favorites too as you study these things and dig more into them. Isn't it incredible to think about how a father blesses a child, whether it's in marriage and relationships, it's inheritance, every spiritual blessing that we have in Christ, but we have a heavenly Father. Sometimes we do a sermon like this and there's people that they feel bad about maybe the family they had or didn't have when they were growing up, or maybe even some things that are going on right now in your life. But I'll tell you that you have a heavenly Father and a great Savior in Jesus Christ our Lord. And we would love to encourage you today to be a child of God or to be a faithful child of God. If you've never become a child of God and been adopted into His family, had that kind of Othniel experience of coming in, then you can today. There's water ready and clothing is ready. Everything's ready if you want to confess your faith that Jesus is the Son of God and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. He adds you to His church. He adds you to His family and you leave here a child of God. And it may be that you've been baptized and you're a child of God. But the truth is that when you look at the blessing in your life, some of those fields, they're dry now. Needs water. Needs the power of God. Needs the Word. Needs the fellowship of the saints to come around you and lift you up and supply need. What's that spiritual need? Maybe we could pray for you and encourage you about it right now. And so we're going to sing a song of encouragement. If you'd like us to pray for you, to help you, to baptize you into Jesus, whatever that spiritual need might be, I invite you to come forward and make your desire known as we stand and sing together. Won't you come?